prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. You know, a large part of what we get today from the medical orthodoxy is diagnostics in nature. We love diagnostics, and because anytime you have the opportunity to detect something before it actually happens so that you can prepare, maybe change high-risk behaviors, this is a wonderful thing that improves the quality of life and the length of life. And that's the discussion we're going to have today. I know that we said that Professor Thomas Lucia would be joining us, and he will be joining us. But he is a little tied up right now, actually, in his clinic. So we have Dr. Sleyman Obeid. How are you doing, Dr. Obeid?
Hey, doing fine. Great. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And you're filling in, and Professor Lucia will probably join us a little bit later in the interview.
Sure thing.
But so let's talk about this this recent paper. Quick blood test for gut bacteria can predict risk of death and heart problems in patients. Why this paper? What questions still needed to be answered that required this research?
Well, that's actually a pretty good question. Why this paper? Well, actually, it's based on what we know so far. So this biomarker, which is TMAO, the trimethylamine N-oxide, has been previously well studied before, since probably 2011 were the highest impact, and 2013. So what we know so far, or what we knew so far about this molecule, is that it was predictive of death and myocardial infarction in patients which had coronary artery disease. It was also predictive of kidney diseases, and on top also of the development of diabetes mellitus. What we lacked was the information in patients who presented with acute coronary syndrome. So this was the intention of this study, is to check if this biomarker is also prognostic in this population. So the acute coronary syndrome differs from patients which have coronary artery disease by the fact that they come with chest pain, they come with elevated what we call the myocardium biomarker, which is called troponin,
right,
or they have some electrocardiographic changes associated with these symptoms. And we lacked information up till now. We joined hand in hand with the Cleveland Clinic, who previously studied patients with stable coronary artery disease. And we said that we have a good population here. We have what is called the SPUM cohort, in which Zurich is part of it, the Unispital Zurich, Bern, Geneva, Lausanne, and hopefully Cardiocentro will come aboard in the next few months. So we just took blood from these patients after their consent. We detected this biomarker. It was actually detected in the Cleveland Clinic. We had to send them over there. And then we checked what different values we have for each patient. And after a one-year follow-up, we checked these patients if they had re-infarction, if they had another episode of chest pain, if another artery closed or so. And this was actually important because the Cleveland Clinic by themselves have another population of patients. They have around 530 patients, in which they followed up till 7 years. And with that follow-up, they checked every year if the patient still has pain, if the patient survived or so. And at 7 years, we had a certain percentage. What we then did was divided this biomarker into four quartiles, so that we just divided patients into high, low, medium, and medium low or so, and then followed up till 7 years and checked if the patients with the highest level actually had a higher incidence of death. And that was actually not surprising, but that was actually new, and for the first time, we were all able to document such a finding in such population.
So let's talk about TMAO, trimethylamine N oxide, for a second. This has been the subject of a lot of discussion for several years now, and is attributed to proteins that contain high amounts of carnitine, correct?
It's true. It's actually choline, phosphatidylcholine, and L-carnitine. It's actually a mixture of these three, depends on the diet that you're using. There's another form of TMAO, which we will say it's a preformed. So there is a form in which our human body does or convert, and there's a form in which we ingest. They're a little bit different.
How are they different?
Well, actually, at the molecular level, they're a little bit different. Those are majorly preformed at the level of fish. Once you ingest fish, you have a little bit of TMAO in them. And our metabolism or our way of producing this TMAO is a little bit different than the way fish produces their TMAO. What we studied here is the... is the TMAO, which is converted at the level of our liver and then secreted into the blood.
Okay. All right, so when you started to look at these individuals that seemed to have higher levels of TMAO, and then throughout the study, it almost showed up as being predictive of future events, right?
Exactly.
So the interesting thing about this is we've been talking about L-carnitine and TMAO for some time now. And quite frankly, L-carnitine in and of itself does not appear to predict many of these cardiac negative events. In fact, L-carnitine in and of itself, in many studies, has been shown that it actually had a reductive effect on all-cause mortality, as well as arrhythmias and angina symptoms and so on. But obviously, we're very complex, and there's a lot more going on. And as you point out, there's different TMAOs in nature, apparently. The one we produce, the one fish produce. So looking at this research, you were able to actually identify something in the microbiota of these individuals that seem to be producing some of this TMAO, correct?
Well, it's not just like the production of this of the TMAO is the microbiota dependent, let's say.
Right.
So at some point, if you block these organisms at the level of the gut microbiome by any form of antibiotic, let's say, there is a tendency that the conversion into TMAO decreases. And this conversion would lead to, for example, a decrease of atherosclerosis at the level of the coronary arteries. So there is these organisms, these gut microbiome, are part of the essential in changing the dietary choline and phosphatidyl choline, which are forms of this amino acid,
right,
into trimethylamine, which will then be transformed into TMAO. So if we block the first step, by blocking the gut microbiome, we could end up with lowering the TMAO. This is one study which actually they eradicated the normal flora or part of the flora which is responsible for this, and they realized that the TMAO decreased. So this could be one form of action. However, this is like somehow of a shotgun therapy. Just eradicate everything.
Yeah.
Right. Positive and its negative side effects. So this would not be the optimal approach to inhibiting TMEO, I have to say.
So we know that the gut microbes respond very quickly within days to dietary interventions. Things like fasting, things like extreme diets, like the ketogenic diet, which is very, very high fat, moderate protein, very, very low carbohydrate diet, seems to play a role in shifting the gut flora away from, I want to say, away from Bacteroidetes, which are associated with energy conservation and obesity, to more Firmicutes, which are associated with higher energy consumption and leanness. So do we know of any first of all, what is the name of the microbe specifically that seems to be producing the high amounts of TMAO in the gut?
Well, actually, tell you the truth, there's no definite microorganism which has been associated. It's not to my knowledge.
Ah, so you haven't yet, you've yet to discover what a specific microbe is doing.
What is specific? I guess there is not actually one specific microorganism which would change choline into TMAO or phosphatidylcholine. It's the group of organisms which normally inhabit our flora, and some of these organisms which change TMA or change phosphatidylcholine to TMA could be overproduced or over inhabit the column once you have, or the small intestine, once you have a certain form of diet in your lifestyle. So those organisms which are responsible for this conversion tend to decrease spontaneously with the change of diet that we implement. Actually, there is one nice study by Keith. It's checking the TMAO level in vegans and in those omnivore, those who eat just meat, and the baseline TMAO level is extremely lower in patients or people who are vegans, actually. But you realize
that you got to be very careful when you start to invoke the vegan diet, because the vegan diet carries with it a host of deleterious effects on the human body. And so, you know, I was talking to a friend this weekend at the Metabolic Therapeutic Convention in Tampa, Florida, and they were talking about fat loss and things that cause fat loss. And I said, you know, if you drank a shot of gasoline every day, it may cause fat loss, but at what cost to overall health? So when we talk about omnivores and vegans, one of the things that we have a problem teasing out are acellular carbohydrates, flours, specifically wheat and grain-type flours, which we know from those who are doing metabolomic research now and looking at the microbiome, not as a cause of health problems, but an artifact of a bad diet that then leads to health problems. They're talking about the fact that what we now understand are negative or unhealthy microbes in the gut, they seem to proliferate and overburden dysbiosis when you eat a lot of these acellular carbohydrates, these flours and so on. And the problem I have with the omnivore diet and the vegan diet in general is that not all vegans believe that they're eating a good diet as long as they're not eating animal protein. That's good as far as they're concerned. And omnivores, by and large, still consume a large amount of what we consider pro-inflammatory grains and such.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see a carnivorous study done where people eat nothing but meat, because meat is the one that's implicated in TMAO, right? Because it's high in carnitine. So people go, oh, high meat diets equal all of these problems. But we really don't know if that's accurate until we kind of take out some of the things that we know are causing dysbiosis in the gut, right?
You're totally right. You're totally right. Actually, the process is quite so complex that we, even now, after we produced this or published this study, we still have no real treatment for the issue or for what we have found.
Right.
So the thing is, it's definitely the TMAO comes from meat. It also comes from dairy products,
right?
From those which have the milk, cheese, rich in choline and phosphatidylcholines, and of course the L-carnitine, which is coming from majorly red meat. So the thing is, which I have to say, is that you could be a carnivore. You could be just eating meat, but depends on the quantity and the lifestyle, what demands from you or what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And this we could actually see quite nicely, the difference between the Swiss population and that of the population in the United States, let's say. So if you would, I have the right values around here. So you could say that the mean of this value of this TMAO in the Cleveland population in the United States is 4.28, which is almost double than the mean of TMAO that we have here in the Swiss population.
Right, right. And, so, and the Swiss population, I happen to know because we followed them. They're very progressive in their examination of the role of diet and the etiology of a variety of chronic diseases. And I know that the Swiss population not too long ago started to promote more fat in the diet as being healthy because of research that they've done. I know that they, for a long time, have questioned a lot of processed food products in the diet because they believe that. So this is really interesting. I have to take a break. I need you to stay with me with this thought for a second. When we come back, I want to talk about the ramifications. What really, we are understanding about the American diet versus other diets out there that actually may be the reason for this problem, and not necessarily the high meat consumption, because the Mediterranean diet includes lots of meat and cheeses and so on as well. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan horse.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sleyman Obeid. We're talking about TMAO as a marker for future heart negative heart events. We were talking about the role of the microbes in your gut and the overproduction of TMAO. TMAO is produced from proteins that have high carnitine. And for a while there, people were not even taking their L-carnitine supplements. There's some people out there who supplement with a carnitine when they started getting some of this research back in 2011 through 2013. People started thinking, well, you know, taking carnitine is probably not a good thing. But like so many things in the body, there's so much more to the story. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of what we can absolutely take away from this research. Obviously, TMAO does have a role. Correct? I mean, it does something good for us, Dr. Obeid, or is it only ever negative?
Well, it's actually, I mean, previously it wasn't such of a negative compound. It's just like a sodium, for example. It just maintained the osmolarity of the blood and plasma. It has just this shifting effect. Once it's needed, it goes there, water follows, and when it's not needed, it just disappears. It just maintains, it's just like a normal osmolite, if you want.
Okay.
And there was the initial actual identification of this molecule. And then later on, with the follow-up and the synthesis started to be more clear, where does it come from, what does it do? And if you go upstream, I mean, if you just follow back the production line, you end up with this L-carnitine, the initial trimethylamine without the oxide molecules, and previously also the choline and phosphatidylcholine. And since they were extensively studied, then it was thought that this molecule could have a role outside water balance role.
Mm-hmm.
Right today.
Mm-hmm.
And research starting coming up, and it was actually more on the negative side, unfortunately, for TMAO.
But see, when we look at everything that's going on today in these modern populations through evolutionary medicine, we hearken back to a time where before chronic disease, and I understand that people like to say, well, we only lived to be 30 years old back then. That's not really true. You were more likely to see 60, 70, and 80 years old if you got through childhood and your younger years without an infection or a farm implement accident that took your life, which was a major contribution by medicine, and that was antibiotics and surgeries in general. But the reality is that when we start to look at things from an evolutionary perspective, and we say, you know, back in the 1800s, myocardial infarctions were relatively rare as compared to today, where everybody's having a heart attack today.
There's got to be more to the story than just red meat, because and dairy, because we also know, juxtaposed to this, that, you know, the French and the Italians and all those who eat the Mediterranean diet, they eat a lot of fish, they eat a lot of beef, they eat a lot of vegetables. You know, they eat a lot of the things that we hear go, oh, that's not good for you, that's bad for you. How do you explain that away?
Yeah, well, I mean, with respect, for example, to the thing is, with the, as we progress with the medicine and this evolution that's there, we tend to be able to diagnose stuff quicker and at a larger level. I mean, myocardial infarction probably was also not of little incidence, but the material or what was available at that time to diagnose that this was an infarct.
I would respectfully disagree, and here's why. Because the man who founded the American Heart Association, Dr. Paul Dudley White, the man who brought the electrocardiogram machine to the United States, wrote a position paper in 1936 saying that in all his time in school and in residency and in private practice, he had only encountered one myocardial infarction. But by the 1930s, so many people were having heart attacks. And he wrote a position paper. He said then, in the 30s, the first hydrogenated product was Crisco. It was created by Procter Gamble, and it was said to be better for you than lard and beef tallow. It was healthier. He said, abandon vegetable oils, he said, because I'm linking all of what I'm seeing in today's population to two things, increasing consumption of sugar and increasing reliance on edible oils from vegetables. He said that in the 30s. It took us till, what, five, six, 7 years ago for us to go, oh, trans fats are bad. Let's get, so many people died and they ignored his position paper. Again, this is the man who founded the American Heart Association. He founded it because he said there were no myocardial infarctions. People were dying in their sleep. Sure, maybe their heart failed, which is the way you should go someday. But there weren't these grab your chest, I'm dying, I'm 34 years old events. Now all of a sudden we're having a lot of them. So, while I respectfully disagree that we did not have the rate of myocardial infarction we have today back then.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Definitely it has increased. No, the evidence is that it has increased. But I'm only just saying that what we have now, we're able to diagnose minimal infarcts, which 5 years ago also we weren't able to diagnose.
Gotcha.
So the diagnostic properties and what we have now are just improving. So not a huge infarct. We have this high sensitivity troponin, which we use. Even small athletes, when they try to exercise a little bit more than what their capacity of, it's a little bit increased than usual. Some micro infarcts or demand infarction, it's called.
Right.
And we're able to detect that nowadays. I'm not saying it was the same. Definitely, it has increased exponentially. And probably I would attribute it, as you have said and pointed out, to the diet. I mean, for example, the states, the diet in the U.S., to my knowledge, they have consume more than 50% of their diet or calories from their diet come from processed food.
Yes.
For example, could be cardioprotective, and the food that we recommend, such as fibers, they're as minimum as 10%. And probably that's one of the reasons that the patients in which the TMAO was detected in the Cleveland Clinic had such a higher mean value compared to the Swiss population, which is probably less processed food.
Right.
In their daily diet. This could be one of the major causes and attribution.
No, and I agree with you, because the Swiss are doing some amazing work in the area of dietary shifts and all cause mortality. And I agree with you. I think that they eat a lot less processed food. They have shifted more to healthy fats. They believe that fats are good, the right types of fats. This is part of the message that is missing here in the United States. We still get this message that, you know, fat is bad And whenever you take fat out, they put things like high fructose corn syrup to create the same tongue feel that fat normally does. So you end up with a population that's eating a lot of sugars, a lot of starches, acellular carbohydrates, and then they're throwing meat in there too. And obviously now we have a bad situation. So if we can't just bombard the stomach with antibiotics, as you point out, this is reckless. It might be a good way to test for the theory, but you can't do that, right?
No. Actually, it's just how do you call it? It's just part of an experimental point of view to see. Or proof of theory, you
right.
could use it, animal studies or so. But at the level of humans, this would be not so ethical, let's say. You know, just let's delete every microbiome with this antibiotic, decrease this stuff, and see what happens. And this is not the way medicine normally works or should work. So I come to the next step, which would be the change from, so as I said, you take this L-carnitine and this phosphatidylcholine, and then the microbiome changes this into what we call TMA. After that, there is what you call the TMA, which is the precursor of the TMAO. And this TMA is changed by some enzymatic reaction occurring at the level of the liver, which would change it to a TMAO. And after that, it's then released into the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the targets which could be is the inhibiting this enzyme, which we know it's called the flavin monooxygenase, it's an FMO3, which helps in the production of the TMAO. It's probably not the only enzyme which helps in this conversion, but it has been shown that prohibiting or inhibiting this enzyme would decrease your TMAO level.
Interesting.
So this would be one point in which future medications or drugs that could target. And it's not uncommon to find targets such as anti-inflammatory medications by monoclonal antibodies or whatsoever, as in chronic diseases. This could be at some point available to just detect and target the specific enzyme which relates TMAO to TMAO. We don't have that currently as per direct or how do you call specific inhibition, so that only the TMAO decreases. We have to look up which enzyme has the most potency in changing TMAO TMA to TMAO,
right.
And then target it.
So is this enzyme one of the like cytochrome cascade enzymes, or is it some other enzyme entirely?
It's one of the other enzymes entirely. It's from the monooxygenase. I mean, the liver is such a complex. They are all it's just an enzyme which adds three. An oxide to your TMAO.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, it's at position 3, so this is why it's like monooxygenase 3. And its function actually, doesn't come to my mind, but it has also a different function than changing TMA to TMAO.
That was my next question.
This is why I said
that
changing TMA to TMAO by this enzyme is not purely true, because it has other functions,
right?
And here comes the further research to identifying which is the most specific enzyme related in this transformation.
But the other thing with enzymes is most enzymes are precursors to other enzymes. So, for instance, we've talked about how NSAIDs. Cyclooxygenase is the enzyme right above aromatase. So when you take when you take things that inhibit COX-1 and COX-2, they also inhibit the production of the aromatase enzyme, and we see an increase in testosterone production in men when aromatase is downshifted. So all these enzymes have other effects on other enzymes. My concern with enzymes is when we target one, we don't give consideration to what that does downstream. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to understand what specifically about TMAO causes problems with the vasculature and the heart. If you can teach us about that when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820.
800-616-0820.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. This is actually a very important discussion. Those of us in this community, we eat a lot of animal protein. Some of us even take L-carnitine supplements because they've been shown to cause mitochondria. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you. I have some good news. Professor Luscher just came back from the cath lab.
Okay. Can you put us on speakerphone simply?
Sure.
Put us on speakerphone. If both of you can get close to the speaker, that'd be great.
Okay. Perfect.
Hello, Professor Luscher. How are you? Okay, if everybody could just get close to the speakerphone, that'll make this a lot easier.
Yeah, we're here.
You sound great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question I wanted to ask, and please, Professor Luscher, jump in here, is
how
exactly does TMAO cause these deleterious effects on the heart and the vasculature? What does it do specifically? Is it pro-inflammatory? What does it do?
Yeah, it's pro-inflammatory, and in particular, it is pro-thrombotic. In our co-author, Stan Hazen, has shown in mice that if you damage an artery, for instance, the carotid artery that goes to the brain, then the occlusion time is enhanced, that it occludes much faster if TMAO is on board. And so it's probably the thrombosis that is most important, but it may also facilitate plaque growth, which is the basis of atherosclerosis.
Okay, so lots of things are prothrombotic that doctors can live perfectly with.
Yes.
Right? And so, you know, I mean, if a doctor prescribes a methylated corticosteroid or even a birth control pill, that's prothrombotic. We know that. And there's lots of things that are in diet that are prothrombotic. So there's this constant balance between coagulation time, which can equal thrombosis or even D-dimer in some cases with people with sleep apnea. But also there's this balance of blood viscosity and blood thinness that's constantly happening on a day in and day out basis. So is that specifically how TMAO causes heart attacks because of its thrombotic increasing effects? And if so, then people who are worried about that just need to make sure that they include things in their diet or their regimen that will help thin their blood.
Yes, that's a very good point. Well, first of all, in primary prevention, of course, you may have higher levels of TMAO, and you may be prone to a heart attack, or if you have a heart attack, it's more likely to occlude. Now, after an infarction, and that's what we investigated in particular, all these patients have actually antithrombotic, antiplatelet drugs. They have aspirin, and in general, they also have a drug called Prasugrel or Ticagrelor, which also inhibits platelet function and therefore is antithrombotic. But it's most likely that TMAO stimulates tissue factor, which is at the top of the coagulation cascade.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, we don't give this to patients after infarction. And of course, this is one question whether we should have a triple anticoagulation, but then there is quite a risk of bleeding. Because what we are most concerned immediately after infarction is the occlusion of a stent.
Right.
And that's why we give these drugs. And this is certainly an approach to thin your blood, to take an anticoagulant. This has not been tested. The other approach would be to inhibit the formation of TMAO by the bacteria. And in fact, the bacteria have an enzyme that provides TMA, that it's then oxidized in the liver of the humans. And in principle, one could also develop a drug that inhibits that formation of the trimethylamine from lecithin or phosphatidylcholine. And that's a novel approach to look at this. An advantage would also be that this drug doesn't even have to enter the body. You could just give it, and it's in the belly, treats the bacteria, and down it goes with the toilet.
Well, so let me
an interesting approach that's currently developed.
Let me throw a couple things at you for consideration. Number one, we did a show last year that showed that cirrhosis of the liver occurs intrinsically and extrinsically from alcohol consumption. And what I mean by that, it's not just the stress, the hepatic stress that alcohol presents, but also alcohol breaks down certain films in the gut that sequester certain microbes. Those microbes can then travel to the liver and infest the liver. And this is what actually leads to cirrhosis. It's not just the alcohol. Yeah. It's the infestation of these microbes that would normally stay in the gut that alcohol actually frees them. So the first question I would say is, what role does alcohol play? Since you're telling me that these conversions occur in the liver as well, and these microbes are in our gut, could alcohol be causing some of the TMAO increased production in some of these people? We're looking at diet. You cannot discount alcohol as part of the diet, number one. The other thing that I would say to you is this. I wrote a fantastic blog a few years ago about the use of melanotan 2, which is a melanocortin stimulating peptide that causes browning of skin like sun tanning. Well, what they found out was that when you stimulate the melanocortin system, it actually causes the reabsorption of plaque and a reduction, a dramatic reduction in intimal inflammation. So if those things have the ability to reabsorb plaques and actually reverse arteriosclerosis, then what role does sun play or the lack thereof in those people who are overproducing TMAO?
Well, the short answer is I don't know, but I would say that, of course, the barrier between the gut and our body, if you want, is, of course, of crucial importance, also for inflammatory reactions. That is, for instance, gut disease like Crohn's disease and colitis that change the permeability of the gut. They will, of course, increase all the bad stuff that bacteria produce. They will increase the absorption of this into our body.
Mm-hmm.
So the barrier between the bacteria in our belly and the liver, that is a detoxification organ in principle, is, of course, of crucial importance. So whenever you have an inflammation, it may well be that TMAO goes up, and this is an interesting new aspect to investigate in this context, because we know inflammation is, of course, very important for atherosclerosis in general.
Right.
And but it's true that that what's produced in the gut has to reach the liver, and then, of course, the circulation. And the tighter the barrier is, the better you're off. And, of course, the tightness of the barrier changes substantially whenever you have an inflammation of the gut, be it classical diseases such as Crohn's and colitis, or any other inflammation in principle could do that.
You know, this might be of interest to you. So I was at the Metabolic Therapeutic Convention in Tampa, Florida this past week, where a lot of different dietary interventions are being used for some very, very nefarious diseases today. And one of the people who spoke there was with a company that is now doing metabolomic testing. They claim that they have blood tests now that can tell you based on the things that are passing through the gut and getting directly into the bloodstream, as we know is the trigger mechanism for many autoimmune disorders. They can tell you specifically whether or not you've got Crohn's or IBS or ulcerative colitis just by the metabolites that are escaping into your bloodstream through your gut. I thought that was very fascinating.
Yeah, that's very fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, you know, the bacteria in the gut could play an important role in this disease as well. I mean, there's no question about it. But, you know, we're cardiologists. We are just discovering the gut recently. And but we know also that patients with Crohn's disease and colitis, they have a higher risk of myocardial infarction, very much like patients with rheumatoid arthritis as well.
Interesting.
And we just write the textbook of cardiovascular medicine with Oxford University Press, and we have now specific chapters on gut disease, on psoriasis, on any inflammatory disease in the body is not good for you in terms of inflammation of the blood vessels, promoting atherosclerosis and infarction. So that's a very interesting development that, you know, that whatever you have in your body, whatever inflammation, it's not good for your plaques if you have them.
Right. And
now, when we would reduce cholesterol to an extent that we can certainly do soon, let's say with the PCSK9 inhibitors of two values in the 30s, then maybe it doesn't matter as much as it does today.
Yeah, but that matters to the brain and other. See, the problem with looking at cholesterol, and the analogy I've been giving on this show for 11 years is, if I come in your home, and I take a hammer and knock a hole in your wall,
yes,
and then you come and you spackle it with plaster, and now there's a big lump there.
Yeah.
Who caused the problem? I caused the problem by making the hole in the first place. The idea of addressing plaque by looking at something that is extremely useful and important to the brain and to the production of hormones and a variety of other cellular functions like cholesterol, and saying, let's just suppress cholesterol to fix this problem, is like me telling you, you have cancer. We're going to cure your cancer by asphyxiating you till you're dead. And it's true. Your cancer will die with you, but I've killed you as well.
Well, that's a possible concern, of course. But I would say that we produce far too much cholesterol. You know, for instance, I have this slide that I always show in my lectures with the LDL levels in mice, in rabbits, in dogs, in primates, and in humans. And humans have like a tenfold higher LDL level than mice and about a threefold higher than our relatives, the chimpanzees. And I haven't seen a chimpanzee in the emergency room with an infarction so far in my career. And I think there's a good reason for it. And, you know, I have an interesting case.
Wait. I have to challenge you. I'm sorry. The reason for it is because the chimpanzee doesn't drive to McDonald's and eat that stuff. I mean, I would argue that
only 15% of the cholesterol is coming from the belly. I think there are many things from the belly that we just discussed, but cholesterol actually is a huge minority, about 15%, that comes from the belly. Because in the gut, there is a transporter, the Niemann-Pick transporter, that takes care of the lipids that come into the bloodstream to the liver to form chylomicrons. And that if you inhibit this transporter with acetrol, which is an MSD compound that inhibits specifically this transporter, you have a relatively small effect, as shown recently in a trial published in New England by Chris Cannon. And so I think most of it comes from the liver. But let me finish my case.
Please.
So I have a patient, it's actually an American, who happens to live in Switzerland, and he had actually very high LDL levels. So I gave him this new PCSK9 inhibitor, and he comes back with an LDL level of 10 milligrams
right.
per deciliter.
Right.
I haven't measured that in my entire career.
Right.
So I was very concerned about the cholesterol not being enough to form testosterone. and but his wife didn't complain. So I measured testosterone, and it was completely normal.
What is completely normal? What is completely normal?
We need very little cholesterol, it seems.
But here's the problem with completely normal. This is a favorite subject of mine, testosterone levels in men, right? So the range is anywhere from 320 nanograms to 1100, and if you fall into that range, they say you're completely normal.
That's true. I mean, of course, there are people with more and less testosterone, and we see that even in politics. But, I don't remember exactly, but it was completely in the normal range.
Right.
And actually, you know, the brain also needs cholesterol. That's another concern that
yes.
you were alluding to, that maybe if we lower it too much, we may have neurocognitive dysfunction. And in fact, there's a meta-analysis in circulation that suggests that there might be a signal that we have to be concerned about. But I think on Friday, there was a press release that the Fourier trial with evolucumab
mm-hmm.
Also looked at the neurocognitive function. I think it was 20,000 patients, if I remember well. And they didn't find a signal so far.
Right.
Now, of course, you can argue that maybe 3 to 4 years is not enough. And that's, of course, well taken. So, I mean, the books are not closed.
Right.
But it's a bit better than the skeptics thought it would.
Right. By the way, have you looked at the drug Gleevec, just out of curiosity? It's a very interesting drug that is part biguanine and part coleostatin. It was originally introduced as a cancer drug, and it failed as a cancer drug. But I have a funny feeling.
Yeah, I mean Novartis developed that. Yeah, remember.
It's a very interesting. It's a very interesting drug. It's a very interesting
yeah.
drug for those who are interested in metabolic disorders, because it actually is a pro drug as well and forms some other things. But if you look at the molecule,
yeah.
it's actually half Lipitor and half Metformin. It's really intriguing.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I want to take
metabolic. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it has been used for hairy cell leukemia.
Yes, yes. I want to take a last commercial break. And when we come back, I want you to explain what you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this most recent research, okay?
Right. Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking now with Professor Thomas Lusher. Dr. Obeid is... are you still there, Dr. Obeid?
Yeah, we're both here.
Okay, good.
We're both here.
I don't want to neglect you. You feel free to jump in.
No, I'm with the presence of the professor. I just listen.
Okay, good.
No. He did a lot of work here, and we wrote actually book chapters together, and so he's really knowledgeable in the area.
Perfect. Yeah, he definitely did a good job with the information so far. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, great.
So, again, we've been talking about TMAO ever since the discussion about the role of L-carnitine in heart disease arose. And there's been lots of rebuttals and lots of studies that have said, that L-carnitine is protective and blah, blah, blah. But we know that different things happen in people in modern days today because of their diet, because of their lifestyles, and quite possibly a lot of things that we're not even looking at as being contributors right now, like sunlight, for instance, like I was saying earlier in the discussion. But what do you hope because your research showed played out very strongly that even up to 7 years later, it was predictive of further events in these individuals. What do we take away from this research? Do we all of a sudden say, oh, I have to abandon eating animal protein, or is there more here to the story?
Yeah, I think, basically, of course, the hope would be that we can change TMAO with changing our diet. Now, in Europe, we're very fond of the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean diet that recommends more fruits and salads and rice and white meat and fish in particular.
Right.
And that has actually been shown in New England, the Spanish guys, they did even a randomized study, and the French did the Leon Heart study, and they all concluded that Mediterranean diet is protective. And now, interestingly, Mediterranean diet also reduces TMAO to some degree. So I think the first the first consequence would be that really it appears that that could be one of the mechanisms how Mediterranean diet works. It not only tastes good, it actually is good. And now we have even two randomized trials to show that. And so I think that's one of the issues. And, of course, we can try many other interventions now and look at TMAO and other products. We also looked at TML and other products produced in this context. And Sleiman Obid has also analyzed this one. And so I think this is a whole new area of research for dietary interventions as regards to the cardiovascular outcome.
You know,
of course.
Good, I'm sorry.
Yeah?
No, go, please.
And, of course, besides diet always in medicine, the next step is a drug. And I think to inhibit this enzyme that produces this the TMAO would be a very promising approach. And this is already done in part in experimental studies showing that, in fact, you can inhibit this hepatic flavonoid monoxidase, FMO3, which is producing TMAO eventually in our body. And so that's one approach. And then also, of course, in bacteria itself, as I said, that I would think the most elegant approach would be a drug that doesn't even enter our body, no side effects, only changes in the microbiome. And, of course, the whole area is open for research, and what many people are doing now is also determining the genomic composition of your microbiome, and that also might be very interesting in the future to determine who's at risk and what your composition is. It's not just TMAO. I'm sure that these bacteria, they produce numerous compounds, and the composition of your microbiome is actually quite characteristic, and it seems that most of it you get from the mother through the mother milk, and then it will also be influenced by your lifestyle. But it's both inherited, if you want, and acquired by your lifestyle. So there is a lifestyle aspect to it, but also a pharmacological inhibition might be very promising indeed. And then we have to show that, in fact, if we do lower it specifically, that we also lower the events. And this is going to be, of course, a big, big trial that needs more evidence to fly.
The only thing that I don't hear is activity and exercise. And here's why I say that. I wrote a blog probably 6 or 7 years ago that the magic in the Mediterranean diet may not be the diet itself, but the fact that people walk to and from the restaurant. It's very, very common for Europeans.
Yeah,
for Europeans.
Maybe.
No, listen, you know, we're laughing, but you cannot underestimate what activity does for people. We look at everyone was infatuated with the Okinawan diet, but what they fail to realize is the Okinawans still live a very primitive lifestyle. They go to sleep early, they get up early, they stay active.
Very complex.
Yeah, you know, look, the French smoke a lot of cigarettes. The Okinawans smoke a lot of cigarettes. They should be having heart attacks and strokes. They're not having them. It's not the diet. Yeah. It's the entire lifestyle. It's the lack of stress.
Absolutely.
There's a lot more. I would love to see.
We also published in the European Heart Journal, I'm an editor of, we published a large registry, and they showed that, in fact, the optimal sleep duration is between 7 and 8 hours. If you sleep less, it's not so good. If you sleep more, it's also not so good. So sleep by itself is also a very important factor. I agree completely.
Yes.
And being outside, being in the sun or not, I mean, the dermatologists are not so fond of sunlight as you are.
I am not fond of dermatologists. They are causing problems. I can assure you of that. No, listen.
But of course, I mean, this is the problem, you know, with nutrition research or lifestyle research in general, because lifestyle is so multifactorial. People that don't smoke, they're more likely to exercise. They're more likely to eat healthy.
Yes.
It's a whole syndrome, as we would say
Cascade.
In medicine.
Yes.
That the lifestyle you pursue, And so you're absolutely right. It's complex. And this makes it, of course, also difficult in research to dissociate these different aspects of it. You know, for instance, we also investigated chocolate. And in chocolate also has a lot of components that are positive. And we are now investigating specific flavanols where we try to see whether this is the active ingredient of the coca plant. But, of course, it's always difficult to determine that. But it's possible, but it takes a long time because it's a multifactorial intervention. And if we want to dissociate or define only one part of it, it's usually scientifically quite complicated to get.
Well, and it matters how the chocolate is manufactured. I did that show 2 years ago when that study came out.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, here sunlight is not good. In fact, if it's roasted in the sun too long, then the flavanols are destroyed.
Right.
Eventually.
Right.
So the preparation of the coca nuts is very, very important. But one of the components of this particular nutrition, and that's quite interesting, is epicatechin. And epicatechin is a stimulant for nitric oxide synthase. That's why we became very interested in it. And we are currently investigating. We investigated chocolate in the cath lab, and we showed that patients have less coronary vasoconstriction in response to a cold pressor stress test when they had chocolate on board, black chocolate,
right.
Very dark chocolate, you know, the one that burns in the cheeks.
Yes.
And
yes.
These are the flavanols. And now we are testing together with Mars that isolated this in their chemistry department, epicatechin.
Yep.
And we're about to perform a study in the cath lab where Sleiman Obeid and others are also participating to find out which is the actual ingredient that's most important. And then, of course, you know, you could prepare a drink that is devoid of all the negative effects of chocolate, like fat, like sugar, and so on.
Oh, Doc, fat is not bad for you, Doc.
You don't like that.
No, fat is, look, we look, if you apply critical thinking and you look at the past 50 years, we know that fat wasn't the problem. It's sugar. It's starches.
Yes.
It's these acellular carbohydrates. You know?
Yeah, but in many chocolates, that's a problem, of course. Although the very dark chocolate, if you like some forms of chocolate that is a bit bitter, but it's a matter of taste. But most people like the sweet chocolate, and that's really not good for
people
you.
Like sweet everything. So here's two interesting facts.
Yes,
I purchase organic cocoa nibs. They're just broken cocoa beans. That's all they are. And they they have a lot of fiber in them. They have a lot of fat in them.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good things in
them.
But more importantly,
that's the right way to do it.
I'm working on a project right now for the government.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the types of foods that they feed our soldiers. And
yeah.
If you realized how much sugar is in everything that they feed our soldiers, you would say to yourself, what's wrong with this? But the number one job of the people who choose the foods to feed our soldiers is the food has to taste good. The soldiers have to be willing to eat it. The majority of our population is hardwired to seek out, from an evolutionary perspective, to seek out sugar because it's a very, very easy to consume energy source when we were afraid
it's
of famine.
It's a high-density energy source.
Yeah, but it's so bad for us.
When we were hunters and gatherers, it was a different story. But now that we can buy it at every corner, it's a danger.
And I wonder, and so going back to nutrition, I'm a big fan of a more ancestral meal frequency pattern. So I stop eating at 6 p.m. at night. I don't have another meal until after I work out in the morning. So it's about 16 hours fast. And then throughout the day, I eat animal protein and vegetables, animal protein and vegetables. That's really the majority of my diet. And we need to look at the changes in gut microbes when people eliminate grains and sugars and especially processed foods.
It will change the composition of the microbiome, I'm absolutely sure, because not all bacteria have the same metabolism, and then you will will have an overgrowth of certain bacteria. That's a very interesting field of research for the future, indeed.
Well, so ultimately what you want to be taken away from this research is that we do need to pay attention to TMAO and unlock more information about it and then perhaps isolate things that can regulate it. And if the person is capable, of lifestyle changes, that should be the first step. But if not, then maybe a drug alternative should be looked at.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And I'm glad that you made the interview. We went a little long, and I'm happy that you're here. And I hope that you will keep us up to date on new research that you're publishing, because we'd love to have you back on the show.
All right. We'll be happy to come back. Thank you very much indeed.
And Dr. Obeid,
we are already in the evening here, but I'm sure you can enjoy the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Obeid. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Carl. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so there you have it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. And are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. So we were supposed to do a live remote on Friday from the Metabolic Conference in Tampa, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. First of all, I showed up there and with my gear, all the stuff I use for a live remote, and I always check it before I leave the studio, which I did. But as I can see now, I'm sitting here and I see what I did wrong. I get there, I unpack everything. I don't have the power supply for my soundboard, which I need. It's a Mackie soundboard. It takes a special power supply. You can't just go to like Radio Shack and buy one. I actually tried. I found the Radio Shack. So that was the first problem. So I find the Radio Shack. I go and I buy all new equipment. I literally spend like $150 on microphones that plug into laptops and headphones and gear and connectors and blah, blah, blah. And I get it all set up and I'm getting things working, and so we connect using Skype. And I had, I said, look, I need an Ethernet connection. I need a hard line connection because wireless won't work because wireless can flutter in and out, and you lose syllables. You drop, the connection, and you're gone. And I can't do that for live radio. So we have an Ethernet connection, but by far it's the worst Ethernet connection I've ever seen in my life in this hotel, the Embassy Suites. I mean, the bandwidth was horrible. I don't know if it was because everybody was using it or because they partitioned that you can only use so much bandwidth at a time, but it just kept dropping out and reconnecting and dropping out, and then we wouldn't reconnect, and I'm trying to get online with Elisa, and I'm actually using remote software that I can work this stuff here, so I can actually see what's going on in the studio while I'm sitting there, and it's like it won't stay connected. It says the internet connection is bad, and I've got a fiber here at the studio. So as a rule, the connection from the studio out into the world is really solid. And it kept saying, no, you've got. So finally, we agreed that we weren't going to be able to do a live show. It was very frustrating for Elisa, very frustrating for me. So I ended up resorting to doing some recorded interviews. And I got three really good recorded interviews that I'm going to play on Thursday's show. The Thursday second hour, I'm going to play some interviews. I had the muscle PhD, Jacob Wilson, came on the show, and we did a nice interview, very, very good interview, actually, about keto and so on and so forth. I also got Jimmy Moore to sit down with me, and he's a lovely guy. A lot of people pick on Jimmy, and I think that people are mean because he is successful at what he does. But he's just really a wonderful guy. I watched him from afar, and the people who, he just hugs everybody, and he's just really warm and approachable, and he's a good dude. So we got a nice interview with him. And then we also got an interview with Andrew Scarborough, who for the first time in my life I was able to sit down and meet with in person. And we sat there and talked about some interesting stuff. So I'll have those interviews edited and ready to go on Thursday. And they should prove to be very, very interesting. And we've got great shows the rest of the week, quite frankly. So hopefully you can tune in live. If you can't tune in live, there's always the podcast. I thank all of you who listen to this show and make it possible for me to do this for a living. I always thank you. And we'll say goodbye tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening today.